Isaiah chapter 50 contains some prophetic verses concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's always interesting to see that here we are 712 B.C., 700 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and yet we are given minute details concerning what will happen in the process of his suffering. Isaiah chapter number 50, if you'll all please stand with me for the reading of this chapter. Let's read all 11 verses, and then special attention please to verse number 7 when we get there. Isaiah chapter 50, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, and the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." I love verse 11 too. I think I'll be preaching out of it pretty soon. "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we are taking a look at this wonderful, wonderful chapter. And Lord, we want to be like Jesus. I hope that's the heartbeat of every Christian at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him. And Lord, I would pray, dear God, Lord, I will feel like I failed at the end of my ministry if folks don't get it. I'll feel like I failed, dear Lord, as pastor of this church, if somewhere within the hearts of folks here at this church, there is not this consuming desire just to be like our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be our goal every day. May we set out to do that. May we seek the Holy Spirit fullness and help that we need so that we can be as our Savior. And Lord, we're going to learn something of your Son tonight. Help us to adopt this wonderful character trait. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." I want to present to you tonight a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would love for you to ingrain into the very fiber of your soul this Christ trait. If you do, you'll be shocked at how far it will take you in this life. If you do not, you'll be saddened at the end of your life to look back and see how little you've accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. This character trait is a simple one, yet at times you will find it to be one of the hardest things that you ever have to do. This trait takes grit and tenacity and resolve. This trait I'm talking about is the determination to go forward. Did you get that? The determination to go forward. To no matter what circumstances you face, no matter what life throws at you, no matter how many times you're pushed back or knocked down, the ability to get up, brush yourself off, and keep going forward is absolutely necessary for the successful Christian. The challenge I'm setting before you is to become, and this is the name of the message, be flint-faced. Be flint-faced. The challenge I'm setting before you is to become a flint-faced Christian. My favorite running back of all times, and I'm sure everyone in here shares this with me, is Walter Payton. He played for the famous 1985 Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears. No applause, no screaming, no hollering. Hold it down. All right, that's enough. Stop. If you'd be... now listen, I like watching Walter Payton. How many of you were not born in 1985? How many of you had seen that? Forget it. But in 1985, back in the Stone Age, there was a man that played football by the name of Walter Payton. Now, I've seen a lot of great running backs, and I like football, and I watch football, and I've watched a lot of great running backs. But I can only say this about Walter Payton. The only running back I can ever say this about, and I think I've seen just about every game he played in. I've never seen him fall backwards. I've seen him stuffed at the line. I've seen him stopped. But you know what? Even when he fell, watch this. I hope you're getting this. Even when he fell forward. You know what? It'd be sad that someone who played a football game on Sunday instead of going to church had more determination to go forward than Christians who are gathered to worship on the Lord's Day. You know what? One of the things you'll find in these prophetic verses about Jesus Christ is that when he decided that he was going to accomplish the will of God, he set his face like a flint. Now, young people, the flint, if you know this, but the flint is something that it's a hard metal, and if you strike against it, you can't hardly break. I mean, when you strike against it, all it does is produce sparks. I mean, you have to chip away at it and chip away at it. A lot of the Indians that lived here before any of us came or our descendants came, they would make arrowheads of flint. And they would slowly chip those things out. And when they chipped them properly, they would become razor sharp. And they were a hardened metal. And you know what? Jesus used this. By the way, the Creator created flint. And so the Creator picks up something that he created and says, this is how you have to set your face as a Christian. This is how you have to be. You have to decide that you're going to go a direction, and you're going to have to decide that you're going to get there and you're going to go there. And no matter what hits you, no matter what gets in your way, you become flint-faced. And by the way, what I'm talking about is doing the will of God. I'm talking about being determined to serve God. When we talk about Jesus going forward, we're talking about him going forward in the will of God. As a Christian, if you're going towards Jesus and the will of God, you're going forward. If you're going away from God into the world, you're going backwards. Hey, let me encourage you, always go forward. Even if you fall, see to it that you fall forward. Just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I like this. I want you to become flint-faced in your Christian life. In John chapter 19, verse 16, we read this about Jesus as he was going up Golgotha's hill. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, the interesting thing, and if you do this, it's a lot of fun. If you took the one word forth and you looked up every place in the Gospels that you would find that word forth and look at the word that's before it, from the moment Jesus was brought forth, you know what it says about him? He put forth, he passed forth, he sent forth, he stretched forth, he went forth, he stood forth, he launched forth, he proceeded forth, but he never went back, looked back, or turned back. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, going forward was the pattern of his life. It was the pattern of his life. He went forth in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, he went forth and saw. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed his sick. He went forth and was effective in serving God. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And then it says of Jesus, he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him. He taught them, folks, go forward, go forward, go forward. Preacher, I'm having a tough time. Take the next step. Preacher, I've been knocked down. Get up. I'm not going to be able to cover much ground. Well, if you're going to cover any ground, make sure it's ground going forward, not backwards. And by the way, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And you can take the next step, and you can keep going in the right direction. But you have to become flint-faced in your determination. He went forth, though he knew what was ahead. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And he went forth a little and fell on the ground. Went forth a little. Even if it's just a little, go forward. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. John 19, I just read, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull. You see, Jesus going forward, being flint-faced, being determined, going forward was the pattern of his life. And going forward was also the philosophy of his life. I love this portion of scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my dead. Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Watch this. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what? Jesus had a philosophy, and that's this. If you know what you're supposed to do, and God's revealed it to you, then go forward and do it. Don't make excuses. Don't delay. Don't come up with a reason that you got to have another day or two or three or five. You say, preacher, somebody died and they just asked to be buried. Go bury one of their loved ones. Jesus said, go forward. One of them said, well, I want to go home. All I want to do is just go home and say goodbye to my family. Listen, folks, a lot of times you go back and say bye to the family and you get all emotional and family gets to talking to you. And you know what Jesus was saying? Hey, if you know what you're supposed to do, then go forward and do it. It was a philosophy of his life. Number three, going forward was a prerequisite for those he discipled. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, when he had called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever there shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his angels. Let me ask you two questions. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Say amen if you're saved. Are you saved? Are you willing to be discipled? Are you willing to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now here's the prerequisite: self-denial, cross-bearing, and fellowship. If you're going to fill out an application, if I gave you an application, Jesus is looking for a disciple, and I filled out an application, you know what? And I said, I need some references. Come on, if you're going to get a job, you need references, right? I get calls all the time. Some of our young people, I'm out looking for a job. Do you mind if I use you for a reference? Sure, go ahead. But understand this, I don't lie for anybody, amen? Don't call me to lie for you. If you're a lazy bum and they call me, I'll say, yeah, I know him. Yeah, he's a lazy bum. That's what I'll say, all right? And I tell the truth, just like I'd want you to tell the truth about me, all right? And so, application. How about this? References. If somebody was to say, I want to be a disciple. Well, let's fill out some references. Let's give them a reference to your parents. Are you all about self-denial or selfishness? Are you about cross-bearing or trying to get out of anything that's hard? Are you about fellowship or rebellion? Because, folks, if you don't have those three areas squared away, you cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He walked up and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He turned around and walked away. They had to decide whether they were going to sit still or go forward in their Christian life. So with Jesus Christ, going forward was a mentality. It was a character trait. It was a God trait. Going forward was the pattern of his life. Going forward was the philosophy of his life. Going forward was a prerequisite for those he discipled. He demanded it of his followers. Now, why? Say, preacher, why? Why be this determined? Why insist on going forward? Why bear your cross and go forward? What was it about Jesus? Why did he do these things? I'll give you some thoughts tonight, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who needed him. Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who needed him. Who needed Christ to bear that cross and go forward? Every man, woman, and child who's ever been born or ever would be born. The entire human race needed Jesus to go forward on that day when he picked up his cross and headed up Golgotha's hill, and he went for it. We all needed him to do that. You may say, preacher, the entire human race is not going to go down if I quit serving God. Perhaps not, but I'm going to share you this. Somebody's going to go down. Somebody won't make it. Are you listening to me? Somebody won't get reached. Somebody will get discouraged. Somebody will use your failure as a reason to fail themselves. People need you more than you think they need you. And people are watching you more than you think they're watching you. Say, preacher, I'm a nobody. There's no such thing as a nobody. There's someone in 2014 whose path you will cross who needs the testimony of a strong, forward-going, flint-faced Christian. Listen, they're not going to believe a wishy-washy Christian. They need somebody that's determined and somebody who's doing it. So listen to me. Yeah, listen, who needs to be reached for Christ? And if you quit, watch this. If you quit, you will not be there to reach them. I don't share a lot of personal illustrations, and I don't whine. I try not to whine. Well, I do at home a lot, but my wife's kind of used to that. And then I try to get it all out of my system at home, and I try not to whine a lot. And I hesitate using this illustration, but I want to share something with you because young people, I think sometimes you go through a time where you have a setback or you're discouraged or you fall or you're humiliated, and maybe people are even starting to cluck their tongues and talk about you and all of this stuff. And if you're not careful, it's just easier to quit than it is to keep going forward. When I was in Bible college, I spent the first two years in Fisherman's Club. And joined that ministry and was trained and enjoyed that and needed that in my life at that time just to be trained to be an effective soul winner. And so I was a trainee and had a wonderful trainer that took me out and taught me how to be a soul winner. And then I was able for three semesters to take, most of the time I had two or three trainees a semester training young men just to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, I went to the bus ministry. I had a roommate who was on a bus route in Joliet, Illinois, Johnny Esposito, and he said, hey, I need some help. And I said, okay, I'll come help you. And I was his bus worker for a summer and part of the fall semester, and I enjoyed it, and really that's what I wanted to do. Me and Johnny were good friends. I just decided I wanted to, you know, work with him and do that. And then they came to me and said, Brother Ray Young wants to see you. And I said, what's it about? And they said, I think he's going to ask you to be a bus captain. And I said, I don't want to be a bus captain. I want to be a bus worker. I'm fine with that. And they said, you got to go see him if he asks you to go see him. And I went into the office determined to tell him that I was really happy where I was and just wanted to be a bus worker. And by the time I left the office, somehow I was a bus captain. I'm still not sure how that happened. And then I became a bus captain. I was bus captain of Route 113 in the little Mexico part of Chicago. And I mean this, I loved every second of it. I loved that route. I loved those people. We had so many great things happen, and this was old Division 8 area, and just had a blast and had a time and saw some wonderful things and miraculous things. And then they said, Brother Ray wants to see you again. And I thought, well, what is it this time? And he went in, and they said, well, I think he wants to make you a division leader. And I said, I'm very happy being a bus captain. I'm going to go in there and tell him that I don't want to be a division leader. I'm just happy being a bus captain. And when I left the office, somehow I became a division leader. Now I'm over 12 routes instead of one, including my own bus route, and I'm trying to go to Bible college, and it was a huge responsibility, and looking back, probably more than I should have taken on, but I did it for 2 years and just had the time of my life and worked with some of the greatest guys and young ladies. I mean, there's something just amazing about a place where all the young people, and I mean, I know in every Bible college there's a handful of knuckleheads, but just to show up. At that time, the college was running 2,500 young people. And I mean, man alive, there was an energy and excitement. And, you know, we didn't know anything, but we wanted to do something for God. I mean, we did. It was real. It was on. And I had about 50, 55 people in my division, and I'd preach to them every Saturday morning, and then we'd go out and we'd do our visiting, soul winning, and then we'd run our buses, and I oversaw the finance and oversaw everything that over those 12 bus routes. And at the end of 2 years, to be honest with you, I was burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. And the last semester there, I ended up getting sick and ended up losing a semester and falling behind financially. And it was just a tough time. I mean, there was a lot of exciting things going on, but it was just a lot to take on. And so at the end of the fall semester, I went in and seen Brother Ray, and I said, you know, I lost this semester, and I'm behind financially, and I'm going to have to lay out a semester, and I'm going to have to work a couple jobs, and then I'll get back in January. So he said, that's fine. And then later on, he contacted me through one of his assistants and said, Brother Ray is going to give your division to somebody else because you're not going to be a full-time student. Well, I didn't realize that was part of the deal. And I thought to myself, now, wait a minute, man, I've given 2 years into this thing. I mean, have they noticed? Do they know why? Watch this, because I'm telling you, I'm taking you down a road that you've been or you will go down at some point. Have they noticed how much I've sacrificed? Why do they think I can't be in next semester? You know how much money that I've spent on renting buses and promotion? And all of these things begin to go through your mind about, well, that's not fair. What do you mean? So I went in and talked to him. He said, listen, that's the policy. And if you can't get in next semester, that's the way it's going to be. And I've got this guy already lined up, and he's going to take your position. I poured 2 years. I mean, folks, come on. David was there. He knows. We poured our lives into that thing and saw God do some amazing things, built strong relationships. And then all of a sudden, you know what? That's it. You're out. Somebody else has taken your spot. And, I mean, come on, my health. I mean, I'm not making this choice because I want to. I'm making it because I have to. You know, all of the things you go through, all the human reactions. And so I said, fine, you know, and be honest with you, I was angry and I was bitter. And I spent half the summer working two jobs, just kind of mad at everybody. Anybody look at me, I'd snarl at them I know I could have got the victory, but I really didn't want to get the victory for a while. I wanted to be mad, and I wanted to feel slighted, and I wanted to be a martyr, and so I just walked around grumbling for a while. And then Daryl Moore came and see me right before the fall semester, which I can't enroll in. And he said, Brother Jerry, I talked to Brother Ray, and you can't be a division leader if you're not enrolled, but because you're going to be back in the fall, he will allow you to be a bus captain in a different division. I want you to come to my division, be a bus captain. And I'll be honest with you, I said, no, I'm not doing it. All right, come on now. I'm not doing that. Oh, so I can't be a division leader, but they want me to be a bus captain. You know, here I've about ruined my health and emptied my pocketbook, and I can't be, you know, that's the way I was. I'll just be honest with you, that's the way I was. And I said, no, I'll go soul winning on weekends because I have to go in order to stay in school, and I'll do it out of duty, but I'm not going to be a bus captain. I'm not going to get on a bus route. I'm not going to do it. And Brother Daryl looked at me and said, Jerry, watch. He said, Jerry, listen to me. He said, I've dealt with young men in this college for years. He said, I've dealt with bus captains for years. You choose what you want to do. But everywhere that you've gone, God's anointing and God's blessings followed it. Now, you can take that, and you can tuck it away, and you can go hide somewhere, and you can be mad about things. But I'm telling you that there's an empty bus and some workers that need a captain and an area that needs reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do about it. And he turned around. Don't you love when people are spiritual like that? Don't you just love it? So I prayed about it for a while and didn't really pray much about it and mumbled about it and rehearsed in my mind all the reasons why I shouldn't take it. But you know what it boiled down to was this. Watch this. Still small voice said to me, watch this. I thought you surrendered your life to serve me. I thought you were all about reaching people. Now, listen, there's going to be setbacks. And there's going to be disappointments. And by the way, sometimes not everything's going to seem fair. But you know what? There's a world out there that still needs Jesus. Now, you can go out for a couple hours every week and do some soul winning, pat yourself on the back, and go to church and sit like a pew bump and do nothing on Sundays. Or you can take the God-given gift you have and go put it busy and serve the Lord with it. And you know what? I had to learn to get flint-faced. I had to learn to get flint-faced. See, why did he set his face like a flint? Because there were people that needed him. You know what Jesus said to me that day when I was struggling with that? He said, oh, so you're doing this for Ray Young? You're doing this for Hiles Anderson College? You're doing this for First Baptist Church? Who are you doing this for? I thought you surrendered to serve me. So now, are you listening to me, folks? Come on, I'm being a little transparent with you here. And so I went to Brother Darrell, humbled myself, and went to him and said, Brother Darrell, I'll be honest with you. My heart's not in it, and I'm not even sure I'm right enough with God to do it. But I'm working my way through this, and if you want me to be a bus captain, I'll be a bus captain. And I went into it really pretty reluctantly. And I tell this story sometimes. You know what? I can't not put my heart into it. Okay, and that's why I didn't want to do it. But I tried to do it without putting my heart into it for the first several months. I said, okay, I'll go pick up these people and visit them, but I ain't going to like them. And I'm not getting close to any of them. And I'm not getting close to any of the teenagers. And I'm not going to, somebody has a problem, I'm going to say, too bad. And would you pray for me? No. And, I'm just here because God's got a gun to my head and he's making me do it. And that's the only reason I'm here. And I don't like you and I don't like Darrell Moore and I don't like Ray Young and I don't like anybody. But I'm here because I'm a good Christian. All right. And I tried that. I honestly walked into that bus route, been hurt before, built strong relationships, had that kind of all taken away. And I walked in for several months into that bus route, just, very clinically, doing what I had to do, going through the motions. By the way, watch this, and seeing no miracles and no changed lives. And thank God for a God that just keeps after us and is patient. I'm visiting one evening, and there's kids that have problems, and there's teenagers whose lives are in the balance, and there's families that don't have food, and there's all of this, and there's a resistance on my part. God, if I start caring again, then it's going to open my heart back up for all of the same hurt again, and I don't want to do that. And somewhere in the dark, in an alley in Chicago, God put me on my face, and I said, okay, God, all right, here we go. I don't want to do it, but it needs to be done. I want to tell you this. Me and my wife served on that bus route. All of the other bus routes that we served in, God blessed and did some unusual things. But I will tell you this, that route 122 became a miracle route. There was a little girl on that route named Lydia Lima. Oh, well, no, her name was Lydia Villagrana back then. And you know what? She needed Pastor Jerry Ross, and she needed Sister Cheryl, and she needed our ear and our attention and our concern and our help. And you know what? When God broke my heart, I decided, okay, listen, I'm going to get back into this thing. Folks, what are you saying? I'm saying that, listen, we had missionaries come off of that bus route. Two different people ended up on the mission field from that bus route. From that bus route, there's somebody serving as a deacon at the First Baptist Church First Baptist Church of Hammond. There's ladies that sing in the choir there at the First Baptist Church of Hammond from that bus route. You know why? Because God says, are you going to learn? Watch this. Are you going to learn to be flint-faced? Okay? Listen, you got knocked down. You were disappointed. You had health problems. You had financial setbacks. Things were handled in a way that didn't seem fair to you. Are you going to let that stop you? Let's decide right now before we get you out of Bible college. Are you going to let that stop you? And I think to myself, where would I be today if I'd have just held on to that bitterness? And listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who needed him. And I don't know what you're facing or what you've gone through, but I can tell you this, and this applies to everybody in this room. I want you to take this personally as if I was sitting in a room talking just to you. Somewhere out there is someone who needs you. Somewhere out there is someone who, no, they need you, Pastor. No, they need you. Well, then they need somebody that's got some abilities. No, they need you. There's some people that if you don't reach, they are not going to be reached. There's some people who God will tenderize their heart to you, and it'll be you that reaches them, or it'll be nobody that reaches them. And so you got to decide. Jesus said, you know what? There's people that need me. Every man, woman, and child who's ever been born will end up in a devil's hell if I don't get this thing done. So you know what? He picked up his cross and he went forth. Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who needed him. I like this. Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who hated him. On the path to Golgotha, Jesus was not cheered, he was jeered. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. One of the great secrets in life is this. Boy, listen to this. You must use the words of your critics to fuel the determination of your soul. You must learn to use the words of your critics to fuel the determination of your soul. I almost had a license plate made for me in my early ministry. And you know how everybody puts like these license plates on the front of their vehicles? And people that are Christians a lot of time will put like spiritual ones, you know, like go to the church of my choice. And those kind of things, you know, or Jesus loves you or something like that. The way I drive, I feel like it's better if I have no representation of the Savior on my vehicle, because I'm probably going to be a worse testimony for having that on there than a good testimony, so I've tried to stay away from that. I put a Chicago Bears license plate on my little blue truck. I gave the blue truck a few months ago to Gerald. I seen it the other day. You're not going to believe this. The Chicago Bears license plate is no longer on that little blue truck. What in the world? I'm going to demand that truck back. That should have been in the contract. That should have been part of the. A man takes a truck that I give him. First thing he does is puts a John Deere one on there. He doesn't even own a John Deere. He's got a John Deere. Brother Tony's got a John Deere license plate. Took off the Chicago Bears. Put that on there. And there you go. And I have no idea where I'm going with this. Where was I going with this? What's that now? Say what now? Oh, you know what? I was going to get a license plate made. You know you can get a specialized plate. And this is what it was going to say. Here's what it was going to say. Oh, yeah? That's all I wanted, man. Oh, yeah? Everybody always tell me what couldn't be done. Oh, yeah? Everybody tell me why it couldn't be done anymore. Oh, yeah? Everybody tell me about, you know, everybody's gospel hard and you can't read. Oh, yeah? No, you can't succeed in a small town. Oh, yeah? You know what? I just, maybe that ought to become your life verse, and I don't even know if it's in the Bible. But some of you ought to just get a little bit inside of you. Listen, somebody criticizes you, and you know what you do? You fold like a lawn chair, go into a fetal position, suck your thumb, and give up. That's not the way I'm wired. Listen to me. You must use the words of your critics to fuel the determination of your soul. Anybody that's trying to do something for the Lord will always be criticized. They'll always be talked down. They'll always be made fun of. Now, you got to learn what to do with that. Man alive, take the gas lid off the gas tank and pour that into the tank and use that for fuel and determination to go forward. They came down at the foot of the cross and walked back and forth and mocked him and jeered at him and dared him to come down. And you know what? It just made him all the more determined to get to the finish line. He could have done all of those things, but he didn't. You know what? Because, watch this, they would have won and all mankind would have lost. Sister Christine, I love your daddy. I love your daddy with all my heart. Brother Matt Millen is a perfect picture and a perfect illustration. I had Brother Matt preach here, and I'm going to bring him back down just to have him give his testimony and preach again. But I'm going to tell you something. Her daddy is an amazing man. He was raised poor. I think he was one of 47 children or something like that. and raised poor as dirt and didn't have anything growing up and was the not just the bus kid but the troublemaker bus kid in the church, you know. And I mean, you know what, fought and clawed and was made fun of for not having anything, and finally was able to get into the Christian school somehow just by grit and determination and because of the mercies and help of a few people that helped him along the way, and worked when he was a teenager to pay to go to the Christian school, and just fought and clawed and did everything. And yet he wasn't perfect. He didn't have the polish of a lot of kids that were being raised in Christian homes, and he didn't even know some of the common sense, good sense things. But he was sincere and trying, and he'd fail, and sometimes he'd say things that he shouldn't say, do things he shouldn't do. He told me the story one time how a Christian school teacher, and I just hope this puts something in your heart, Christian school teacher pulled him out of the class, got frustrated with him, and looked at him and said, "Millen, let me tell you something. You're never going to amount to anything." By the way, I hope no Christian at Blessed Hope Baptist Church would ever say that to you. And by the way, don't ever say that to your children. I pray that God holds you to account. I pray God convicts your heart. I'm praying that he'd be merciful, but I pray that he'd bring judgment into your life if you talk that way to your children. Shame on you. There's enough people putting kids down. We need to, listen, we're to raise them up, not put them down, all right? But that's what a Christian school teacher. Can you imagine that boy? And he's got all the reason in the world. He doesn't have a Christian family. Mom and dad's not there supporting him. You know what? He don't fit in really in the Christian school. A lot of ways he don't fit in. I mean, he's still trying to figure it all out. A Christian school teacher pulls him out and said, "Millen, you got to..." And I said, "What'd you do with that?" You know what he did with it? Amen. Oh, yeah?
That's right. Amen.
Oh, yeah? By the way, Matt Millen ended up spending 15 years of his life teaching at a Bible college. Oh, yeah? All right, now, listen, you're going to have to do something with the negativity. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You got to do something with it. Preacher, it's not right. People shouldn't be that way. Amen! Guess what? They're going to be! So what are you going to do with it? Let me tell you one of the most foolish things I ever hear Christians say. Young people, I want your heart right now because I'm not against you. But I promise you, some of you are already saying this in your heart. "Well, nobody expects me to make it. Everyone says I'm going to fail. Everyone says I'm bad, so I might as well prove them right." And you know what? You didn't think about that. You didn't think that. The devil whispered it in your ear. I got a better suggestion. Instead of proving them right, why don't you prove them wrong? Why don't you prove them wrong? Jesus was flint-faced because there were those who needed him. He was flint-faced because of those who hated him. But most of all, and this is what it boils down to in the end, Jesus was flint-faced for the Father who had sent him. He loved his Father. When it boiled right down to it, he wasn't doing it for all the rest of them anyway. Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased.'" You know what? Jesus, that's what he wanted to hear. That's all he cared about, is what does the Father think? Matthew 17:4-5, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, 'Jesus, Lord, it be good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" That's all Jesus needed. That's all he needed. John 8, "Then said Jesus unto them, 'When ye shall lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.'" Jesus had the heart's desire to please the Father. What God thought was more important than what any man's opinion was. He went forth because the Father had sent him. He was flint-faced because the Father was with him. He was flint-faced because by going forth, the Father was pleased with him. And when it all boils down to it, folks, at the end of the day, yes, there's people that need you, and yes, there's people that will hate you. But you know what? When it boils down to it, the opinion of God ought to trump everybody else's opinion in your life. I like what Paul said at the end of his last chapter, in the writing of his last chapter of his last book before he would be martyred. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. He's writing to young Timothy, a preacher. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. Yep, there's going to be people that hate what you're doing and don't want what you're saying. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into the fable. Yep, you're going to be surrounded by quitters. It's going to happen. What are you going to do? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then Paul says this through inspiration, for I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I like this. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't know what cross you're bearing tonight. It may be the cross of loneliness or discouragement, sickness, disease, injury. Maybe you're being misunderstood. Maybe you're being maligned. Maybe you're just tired. I've been there. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're suffering grief. You can't seem to get out of pain. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where you're at spiritually. You say, preacher, maybe I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. I'm knocked down. I'm knocked out. Well, what are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do? You know what you've got to do? You know what you've got to do? Listen to me. I know you got to work your way through some things, but you know what you have to do if you're going to do right? You know what you have to do if you're going to be like Jesus? You're going to have to get up and brush yourself off and find out where Christ is and set your face like a flint and just head towards him one more time for one more day. Then the next day you get up and you brush yourself off and you find where he's at and you set your face towards him and you go one more time for one more day, and you do that every day of your life, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, no matter what the circumstances like. Maybe if circumstances may knock you back for a loop and you've lost ground, you get up from where you're at. Where are you? It doesn't matter where anybody else is. Where are you? You get up from where you're at. And you find Jesus, and you put your face like a flint, and you head in his direction. You know what? You do that the rest of your life, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Dear God, I pray for encouragement to those that are discouraged. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would sweetly speak and encourage and help those that may be Lord, just going through hard times and tough times, the trials of life. And there are times where we feel like we've just been betrayed and ill-treated. And unfortunately, a lot of times things aren't fair. And sometimes people just aren't very Christian. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to lay all that aside and say to our Savior, if I am to be like you, then I've got to be flint-faced. I've got to be determined. I've got to get up and I've got to go forward. I've got to do that today and every day for the rest of my life. With God's help and the Holy Spirit's fullness and God's anointing on my life, Lord, just help me tomorrow to get up and take the next step and keep going forward and keep going forward and keep following you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would please put your hand of encouragement and blessing upon every single person here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church tonight. A lot of hard things, a lot of difficult circumstances. Just give them, dear God, the anointing and the help to get up and set their face like a flint and do the will of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.